Chapter 37, Our Only Safeguard. The people of God are directed to the Scriptures as their safeguard against the delusive power of spirits of darkness. Satan employs every possible device to prevent men from obtaining a knowledge of the Bible. At every revival of God's work, he arouses to more intense activity. A final struggle against Christ and his followers is soon to open before us. So closely will the counterfeit resemble the truth that it will be impossible to distinguish between them except by the Scriptures. Those who endeavor to obey all the commandments of God will be opposed and derided. To endure the trial, they must understand the will of God as revealed in His Word. They can honor Him only as they have a right conception of His character, government, and purposes, and act in accordance with them. None but those who have fortified the mind with the truths of the Bible will stand through the last great conflict. Before His crucifixion, the Savior explained to His disciples that He was to be put to death and rise again. Angels were present to impress His words on minds and hearts. But the words were banished from the disciples' minds. When the trial came, the death of Jesus as fully destroyed their hopes as if He had not forewarned them. So in the prophecies the future is opened before us as plainly as it was opened to the disciples by Christ. When God sends warnings, He requires every person in doubt with reason to heed the message. The fearful judgments against the worship of the beast and His image should lead all to learn what the mark of the beast is and how to avoid receiving it. But the masses of the people do not want Bible truth, because it interferes with the desires of the sinful heart. Satan supplies the deceptions they love. But God will have a people to maintain the Bible, and the Bible only, as the standard of all doctrines and the basis of all reforms. The opinions of learned men, the deductions of science, the decisions of ecclesiastical councils, the voice of the majority, not one of these should be regarded as evidence for or against any doctrine. We should demand a plain "Thus saith the Lord." Satan leads the people to look to pastors, to professors of theology as their guides, instead of searching the Scriptures for themselves. By controlling these leaders, he can influence the multitudes. When Christ came, the common people heard Him gladly. But the chief of the priesthood and leading men encased themselves in prejudice. They rejected the evidence of His messiahship. "How is it," the people asked, "that our rulers and learned scribes do not believe on Jesus?" Such teachers led the Jewish nation to reject their Redeemer. Exalting human authority. Christ had a prophetic view of the work of exalting human authority to rule the conscience, which has been so terrible a curse in all ages. His warnings not to follow blind leaders were placed on record as an admonition to future generations. The Roman Church reserves to the clergy the right to interpret the Scriptures. Though the Reformation gave the Scriptures to all, yet the same principle which was maintained by Rome prevents multitudes in Protestant churches from searching the Bible for themselves. They are taught to accept its teachings as interpreted by the Church. Thousands dare receive nothing, however plain in Scripture, that is contrary to their creed. Many are ready to commit their souls to the clergy. They pass by the Savior's teachings almost unnoticed. But are ministers infallible? How can we trust their guidance unless we know from God's Word that they are light-bearers? A lack of moral courage leads many to follow learned men, and they become hopelessly fastened in error. They see the truth for this time in the Bible and feel the power of the Holy Spirit attend its proclamation, yet they allow the clergy to turn them from the light. Satan secures multitudes by attaching them by silken cords of affection to those who are enemies of the cross of Christ. This attachment may be parental, filial, conjugal, or social. Souls under their sway have not courage to obey their convictions of duty. Many claim that it matters not what one believes, if his life is only right. But the life is molded by the faith. If truth is within reach and we neglect it, we virtually reject it, choosing darkness rather than light. Ignorance is no excuse for error or sin, when there is every opportunity to know the will of God. A man traveling comes to a place where there are several roads and a signpost indicating where each one leads. If he disregards the sign and takes whichever road seems to be right, he may be sincere, but will in all probability find himself on the wrong road. The first and highest duty. It is not enough to have good intentions, to do what a man thinks is right or what the minister tells him is right. He should search the scriptures for himself. He has a chart pointing out every waymark on the heavenward journey, and he ought not to guess at anything. It is the first and highest duty of every rational being to learn from the scriptures what is truth, and then to walk in the light and encourage others to follow his example. We are to form our opinions for ourselves as we are to answer for ourselves before God. Learn men, with a pretense of great wisdom. Teach that the scriptures have a secret, spiritual meaning not apparent in the language employed. These men are false teachers. The language of the Bible should be explained according to its obvious meaning, unless a symbol or figure is employed. If men would but take the Bible as it reads, a work would be accomplished that would bring into the fold of Christ thousands now wandering in error. Many a scripture which learned men pass over as unimportant is full of comfort to him who has been taught in the school of Christ. An understanding of Bible truth depends not so much on the power of intellect brought to the search as on the singleness of purpose, the earnest longing after righteousness. Results of neglect of prayer and Bible study. The Bible should never be studied without prayer. The Holy Spirit alone can cause us to feel the importance of things easy to be understood, or prevent us from wresting difficult truths. Heavenly angels prepare the heart to comprehend God's Word. We shall be charmed with its beauty, strengthened by its promises. Temptations often appear irresistible because the tempted one cannot readily remember God's promises and meet Satan with the scripture weapons. But angels are round about those willing to be taught, and they will bring to their remembrance the truths which are needed. He shall teach you all things, and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. But the teachings of Christ must previously have been stored in the mind in order for the Spirit of God to bring them to our remembrance in the time of peril. The destiny of earth's teeming multitudes is about to be decided. Every follower of Christ should earnestly inquire, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? We should now seek a deep and living experience in the things of God. We have not a moment to lose, we are on Satan's enchanted ground. Sleep not, sentinels of God. Many congratulate themselves on the wrong acts which they do not commit. It is not enough that they are trees in the garden of God. They are to bear fruit. In the books of heaven they are registered as cumberers of the ground. Yet with those who have slighted God's mercy and abused His grace, the heart of long-suffering love yet pleads. In the summer there is no noticeable difference between evergreens and other trees, but when the blasts of winter come, the evergreens remain unchanged while other trees are stripped of their foliage. Let opposition arise, let intolerance again bear sway. Let persecution be kindled, and the half-hearted and hypocritical will yield the faith, but the true Christian will stand firm, his faith stronger, his hope brighter, than in days of prosperity. He shall be as a tree planted by the waters, and that spreadeth out her roots by the river, and shall not see when heat cometh, but her leaf shall be green, and shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit.